So the Rio Plus 20 Earth Summit kicked off yesterday in Brazil. 86 presidents and heads of government talking about climate change and the need for global cooperation to confront the real human consequences of global warming and a 6-billion-person planet. Yesterday at the summit, eight large development banks led by the Asian Development Bank promised to lend $175 billion over the next 10 years for transportation projects that reduce congestion and limit pollution. To discuss this, we have Andrew Revkin, environmental reporter for our partner, The New York Times, and author of the Dot Earth blog. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
And down at the conference is Brazil reporter for our partner, the BBC, Paulo Cabral. Paulo, no U.S. head of state at this summit, eh?
No, not really. Just Miss Clinton coming to Rio de Janeiro. And I mean, of course, you know, it's we could say that the summit was a bit of a disappointment, but that would just be stretching because nobody was really expecting anything great coming out from here. So no surprises, disappointing as it was expected for most NGOs.
How interesting is it, some of the lower level developments that are taking place, investments that I just mentioned into transportation projects that may limit congestion and pollution in high-density cities and communities around the world?
Look, we can say that it's important anyway to bring all those people together here in Rio de Janeiro or anywhere in the world. Of course, there are interesting aspects, interesting findings that are always announced in these kinds of events, and there are interesting discussions going on. I mean, things that people really have to talk about, all the issues on how to manage the ocean. So we can't say that this kind of summit is useless, you know. I mean, there is the People's Summit also happening nearby, well, in the center of Rio de Janeiro, actually, where NGOs and social and civil society have the opportunity to discuss their view on sustainability. So, yes, there are interesting things happening in the summit. It's worth to be here and to be in contact with all this and to see what people think. But the problem is that there's not the creation of a real framework for all countries or at least commitments as have been agreed in 1992, 20 years ago, because even if many of these commitments have not been fulfilled in these 20 years, that meeting had the important role of bringing environmental discussion to the center stage. I mean, everybody has a view on that nowadays.
All right, that's Paulo Cabral, our partner from our partner, the BBC, who's at the Rio Plus Summit conference down in Brazil. Certainly to suggest that the summit is not useless is a very, very different kind of rhetoric than we heard even 4 years ago from President Barack Obama.
My presidency will mark a new chapter in America's leadership on climate change that will strengthen our security and create millions of new jobs in the process.
Andrew Revkin, environmental reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Has the rhetoric changed from the top down? The White House isn't speaking about climate change in the way it did 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, a lot of things have changed since 4 years ago, especially with the economy. It's impossible to think about having substantial initiatives move forward when you're still fighting the home front issues like jobs. That's pretty clear, and that's why you don't see David Cameron or Merkel of Germany in Rio either. And interestingly enough, in the United States, substantially because of the shift from coal to gas, our use of coal has dropped dramatically in the last couple of years in a way that was never anticipated. So the president, if he did go, could actually say we're doing a lot that's already started to change emissions trajectories for at least on the climate front. But he's not going to go there. This is just not an issue that's a presidential politics issue. And in a re-election year, you know, you just don't step into a minefield when you don't know, when you know there are mines there that will explode. And there's just no kind of, there's just no upside for him going. It might strike some nice chords, but it just doesn't really, politically, there's no argument for it.
Well, but the irony there, and I don't quite understand this, and you follow this much more closely than I do. I mean, the science is settled on global warming. The process internationally is moving forward. Why would it be a political risk? I can see that it would be boring and irrelevant necessarily to go down to Rio, but why would you actually be taking a political risk in 2012 as president of the United States to talk about climate change, Andrew Revkin?
Well, even on a pragmatic, even on a world-changing level, Well, you could say he's the leader of the free world, so he should go there and present a great, bright picture for the 21st century. He could do that. I would like to see him do that kind of thing. You know, I've written that. Yeah, actually, I moved to the op-ed side of the paper now, so I can actually kind of say what I think sometimes. And I, you know, a lot of us have written imagined speeches for President Obama the last few years on opportunities he's had to project a new American imperative being energy. And actually, one of the encouraging things at Rio and from the UN since the failure of Copenhagen is to broaden out and acknowledge that the world has two energy challenges. One is climate. In other words, how do you avoid overdosing on fossil energy? And the other is the fact that there are 2 billion people on the planet who still can't turn on a light bulb. And that's now a big imperative. And I think there's an argument both domestically and globally for a true leader of the globe to say that the world's imperative now as we go through this crest of our population and consumption the next few decades is to find ways to energize societies. And I haven't seen that from him. And again, I think you're right in the sense that, you know, you could do that without a political downside if you do it the right way. But you know, I'm not a White House advisor.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah, none of us are. Andrew Revkin is environmental reporter for our partner, the New York Times. So, Paulo Cabral, is there a message down in Rio Plus 20 that focusing on climate change is a job deliverer and actually will deliver energy to some places in the world that can't turn on a light bulb?
Yes, well, you see, that the problem is that there are the broad principles that everybody can espouse, that's avoiding climate change and that's a sustainable development, a so-called green economy. But there are real issues on how to deal with these, and these are extremely controversial. Now, our risks are even potentially politically damaging. For example, French President François Hollande suggested the creation of a tax to finance development. There are also ideas that gasoline should be much more expensive because it's got its environmental costs. So broad principles are quite easy to deal with, but then what to do about them can turn to be a very delicate issue also.
That's Paulo Cabral reporting from the Rio Plus 20 summit in Rio de Janeiro. He's the BBC's Brazil reporter. We also spoke with Andrew Revkin, environmental reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and author of the .Earth blog. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.